Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. And every week, we get to feature a guest from the world of music, food, the arts, entertainment, or pop culture from the Jersey Shore or far beyond. And today, we're featuring a photographer, and only the second photographer that I've ever had on this show in almost 5 years, and really only the second photographer I ever wanted to have on this show. So our guest today is award-winning photographer Peter Alessandria. He first picked up a camera in 2004. Clearly, he hasn't put it down yet. He is a former attorney from Los Angeles. He did that for many years. But these days, he is no longer a working attorney. He is 100% a professional photographer. And he's going to explain to us how he got out of law and into photos. So he is shooting architectural photography, commercial photography, executive headshots. He works with actors and models to take their headshots. But his fine art photos are what really got my attention, and that's a whole different side to what he does. Just one of his examples was he was a finalist in the Empire State Building 2015 photo contest. His really amazing picture, Moon Over Manhattan, it was one of the 26 finalists in the hundreds of entries for the Empire State Building's Facebook page. And I'm going to have links to all the information about Peter because you are definitely going to want to take a look at his really absolutely stunning, stunning work. So, Peter, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Andrea. It's quite an introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, because I like what you do, and I want people to know that that's why you're here. So you have a very interesting backstory, a little bit different than maybe some other photographers. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about your backstory, because obviously in the beginning you were a lawyer, and now you're not.
Well, that's true. Yeah, my story is, I guess it's unique in some ways, although I will say since, getting involved in a second career, I've met a lot of other people that have done the same thing. They've changed careers, and so it's inspiring. It's great to talk to other people, talk about their experiences. I hope my story inspires people as well, and because I went from doing something, I enjoyed being a lawyer in some ways. I enjoyed the work. The money was certainly good and all that, but it wasn't really my passion.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until I got into photography that I really discovered a different motivation, you know, for getting up in the morning. And these days, sometimes I get up very early in the morning to catch the sunrise or the moonset or whatever. So, you know, briefly, my story is I grew up in New York City, Queens, Long Island, you know, typical kid from New York, and then went to law school and business school up in Buffalo. And after 4 years in Buffalo, I decided I needed a change of scenery, and I bought a one-way plane ticket for Los Angeles.
Where's
moved
warm.
To L.A. It was warm and beautiful.
Yeah.
And while I was out there, I got the introduction to the film and television business, the entertainment business. And I just thought that was really cool, and I thought, well, if I have to be a lawyer, what can I do that's fun and exciting? And it seemed like that would be a good alternative. So I started interviewing, I worked at two different production companies. They did film and TV production, small independent companies. And it was great. It was fun. It was really interesting. And in the process of doing that, I got to meet some very creative people. So I started meeting writers, producers, directors, actors, you know, all of that, editors, cinematographers. And I thought, wow, I had never been exposed to that. I didn't know anything about that world. And these guys were having, and gals were having a lot of fun doing some really cool stuff. And so slowly I just started to get interested and find out more about it. And this was around 2000, maybe 1999, 2000. And digital video was just coming on the scene.
Yep.
Now, digital video was a big deal because up until then everything was analog and you were kind of limited in what you do in terms of editing and all of that. Now with digital video, you could actually make a movie right on your computer. And so that was my beginning. I started, I actually wrote, produced, directed, and edited six short films. shot on video.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was great. It was really fun. It was really exciting. I loved working with actors. I loved having an idea, writing a screenplay, and then actually filming it, doing the post-production, the editing. I even did the music on those.
All so you did the whole thing? Really, the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Wow.
So that was really okay. A lot of fun. But the thing was, it was a lot of work. You know,
mm-hmm.
even to make a short 5-minute film was weeks and weeks of planning and shooting and editing and all that. So around 2003, 2004, I picked up a still camera, digital still camera for the first time, a digital SLR, you know, the kind with the interchangeable lenses and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just fell in love. You know, it was just like, wow, this is awesome. This is so cool. And I soon discovered I could do a whole photo shoot in one afternoon. You know, it wasn't weeks and months of work and planning and all that.
Like
so that was the beginning.
Yeah. Hmm. What was the draw in the beginning? What made you love this so much when you picked up that camera?
I have no idea. I just
like,
knew I loved
it. Love at first sight.
Yeah, it was just, I just felt so compelled, and I began to look at things in a new way, and I began to study,
mm-hmm.
I began to study light and shadows and composition and color. You know, I just began to look at things differently, and I would say, gee, I wonder what that would look like, and I wonder what that would look like, and I just began experimenting and, you know, just took a lot of photographs. And the great thing about digital technology is, you know, you could see instantly what you got.
So in the very beginning when you started taking lots of photos, what were you photographing back in the day? You remember?
Yeah, everything. I mean, I would
okay.
I would get up in the morning and the light would be coming through. I lived in West Hollywood at the time, and I had this really nice... I lived in a duplex. I had the upstairs, and it had really big picture windows, and I had light from all day long from different angles would come into the apartment, you know, and so every time the light would change, I would see something different, you know, and
mm-hmm.
so I would photograph my couch or my dining room table or you know whatever was lying around, you know, and then I got into still life and smaller objects. And got to really play with that and to just, I remember I had this electric razor and I had
mm-hmm.
just gotten it. It was new. And I put it on the carpet in the living room and the light was coming in from the west. Just created this amazing shadow on the carpet from this electric razor. And I mean, so it was stuff like that, you know, I mean, it wasn't more profound than that. It was simply whatever was around being curious.
Yeah.
And just kind of trying different things out.
But I think there's a lot of truth in you really only learn something if you do it. You can read about it, you can talk about it, but in the end, what you did, just getting at your camera and just constantly shooting, that's how you figure it all out. Peter, when did you realize, though, that you really had a good eye for this, that there was something, this was something a little special?
It's hard, I think, well, you're a photographer, so you probably know this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to be objective in that way and say, you know, this is special or this is good or this is even different. So I wasn't really, it wasn't based on that. It was purely subjective. It was purely the interest, the excitement, the curiosity. Now, I did progress pretty quickly from photographing
mm-hmm.
razors on the carpet to actually going...
Yes.
Photographing people, I got into doing headshot and portrait photography for actors and models. That was the great thing about LA and the entertainment business. You know, there were plenty of willing subjects.
Yeah.
And so working with people brought back the joy that I had from working with actors as a director, you know, as a film director. So working with other people, now it's a collaboration. Now there's
mm-hmm.
two of us involved, and we're going to create something special.
Were you still a lawyer at that point when you started doing headshots?
Yeah, that was a great thing. By that time, I had my own practice, and I had a pretty good gig, quite honestly, and I had a lot of free time and was able to make my own schedule. And so it really afforded me the luxury of learning photography while still being able to support myself financially. You know, I didn't have to give anything up to do what I was enjoying doing.
So as doing all these different headshots, was any of that challenging? Or I should say, what was the biggest challenge that you ever faced in you know, working with people out there doing headshots?
Well, as you mentioned in the intro, I still do that. I do that here on the East Coast.
Yes, you do. That's
professionally.
Right. You still do that. Yeah.
So, and my website, if people are interested, is superstarheadshots.com. Superstarheadshots is all one word. And you can see some of my more recent work. So I still photograph people. On the East Coast here, it's mostly corporate stuff. So I photograph professionals, accountants, insurance people, real estate people. And my favorite, I photograph lawyers. And we were kind of joking earlier, you know, my tagline, my executive headshot business is, I used to be a lawyer, now I shoot them.
Ah, best line ever.
Now, most people appreciate that, especially lawyers. They have a sense of humor, at least. They can laugh at that. So, but, you know, it is, you asked about challenges. So the challenge, I think the biggest challenge is not everybody likes having their photo taken.
This is
true.
Can you
imagine that?
I know. I can imagine that, yes.
So for a lot of these professionals, it's right up there with going to the dentist or, an audit from the IRS. It's not really something they look forward to.
But they have
to
have it done.
Yeah, but as opposed to a professional model or actor, you know, they love being in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first challenge, you know, is to help people feel relaxed, help people feel at ease. I think that's one of the things that I bring to the table now in my headshot business. You know, when I work with professionals, I talk the talk. I understand what, you know, we always talk about what they do for a living, you know, what area of law or business they're involved in. And I think it immediately sets them at ease.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that I try to do is be quick. You know,
Yes. They're
not interested in, you know, 60 photographs from 15 different angles. You know, they want to get in and get out of there, especially if they're high level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I try to be as prepared as possible and efficient as possible. And then the third challenge is, you know, I typically have to, for those shoots at least, I'm typically setting up in a conference room, you know, in some office building someplace. I photograph a lot in Manhattan, you know, law firms, accounting firms in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to bring all my equipment. And, of course, I can't really do that on the train, so I have to drive into the city. And then I have to find a place to park. And I have all this gear because I have to set up a little studio in that conference room. Conference rooms are typically very small. There's typically a really big table in there that has to be moved, and, you know, on and on from there. So it creates challenges. I have to be creative in terms of my setup and the equipment that I bring.
So your challenge right from the get-go, just getting into the city with all this stuff, all your gear, and then getting set up, you haven't even taken a photo yet. Yeah, that can't be simple. Now, let's talk a little bit about your fine art photography, because that's what I think most people, I'll say for myself, that's what I'm most interested in. And I know certainly on Facebook, a lot of people know you from that. So how did you kind of get into the fine art portion of it from, you know, you've done headshots, you've, you know, commercial photography products, et cetera. So where did the fine art series come from?
Yeah, I will mention very quickly, I do a lot of product photography, commercial product photography. That website is greatproductshots.com. And I know, Andrea, you're going to have a link in the show notes and in the blog.
Nobody has to memorize anything. After I put up my blog at the end of the show, I will put links to all of Peter's websites. You can check out all of his work. I just want to mention, though, your work, to me, I'm very interested in lighting. And your lighting, your everything, your people, your products, the lighting is it's perfection to me. It's so well lit. I have such admiration for the way you light everything that you do. Yeah.
It, Thank you. Yeah, I worked really hard to study that.
And
so
that
what
shows.
I do a lot, what I do is kind of reverse engineer. So I will look at a photograph that somebody else has done that I admire or that inspires me, and I say, okay, how did they do that? And then I try to recreate that. So
mm-hmm.
you can do that with products. You can do that with people. I mean, one of the things about a great portrait is there's typically a catchlight. You probably know this because you're a photographer, but for people who are not, there's typically a catchlight in the person's eyes.
Yes.
So there's a highlight on the pupil or on the iris.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look close enough, you can tell where the light sources are in that room.
Mm-hmm.
It's like reflected back to you in the person's eyes. So obviously it's not, sometimes it's not as clear or easy to see, but working backwards from that, I could say, okay, so there was a large light camera left, probably about 45 degrees, you know, and I just kind of work back and try to recreate that.
That's interesting.
Plus, as we said earlier, a lot of trial and error, a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'll say, too, is, you know, when I got into photography, it was also the rise of the Internet. And there was a lot in the way of forums where people could go and post photographs. You know, suddenly there was a worldwide community available to you to answer questions, to share information, to share techniques. And I really took advantage of that. Even today, you know, on the photography forums that I frequent, even on Facebook,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I will often ask other photographers, how did you do that shot? You know, I always want to know, to the extent they want to tell me, you know, how they got that lighting set up, that composition, you know, what lens they use, that kind of thing.
So clearly you are very drawn to, in your fine art series, photos of the moon. You have wonderful cityscapes in Manhattan. And so what are you looking for? When you see something, how do you decide that's a shot, that's what I want?
All right, so here's the first thing you need to know about me. Okay, every
mm-hmm.
shot that I do is planned.
Okay.
I'm not one of those photographers who drives around with a camera and says, oh, gee, there's an interesting, you know, whatever, and I pull my camera out and take
mm-hmm.
a picture.
Okay.
In fact, I never carry a camera with me unless I'm going out shooting. And then if I'm going out shooting, I will typically carry three cameras with me. But that's another story. So everything is planned. Now, you know, the technology has become my biggest, you know, our greatest ally as photographers. You know, we have a plethora of digital tools at our disposal. We could talk about the editing and all that in a few minutes. I know we talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of actually getting the photograph, you know, there are apps and programs and websites that will tell you where the moon is going to be, where the moon is going to come up, where it's going to set, where the sun is going to rise, where the sun is going to set, in relationship to certain landmarks or, you know, whatever you want to call it, on the surface. So the photograph that you referred to earlier, my photograph Moon Over Manhattan, that is, for people who haven't seen it yet, that was a photo that was taken in, I believe it was the end of July. There was a full moon. And what I did was, using an app called the Photographer's Ephemeris, you'll have to email me if you didn't get that. It's photographersephemeris.com. It allows you to actually plot the location of where the moon is going to rise. So I was able to use that app to estimate, because this photograph, if you haven't seen it, it's a photograph of the Empire State Building. And
mm-hmm.
what it is the full moon perfectly aligned with the spire of the Empire State Building.
Perfectly aligned,
so
yes.
It looks like an olive stuck on a toothpick, you know. It's perfectly lined up. Now, the app only gave me so much information. I didn't really, it's only accurate to within about 500 feet. So I really had a guess, and this was just intuition. You know, intuition just told me where to set up. Because once I get set up, it's hard for me to move. That night I was running two different cameras. One camera had a 400-millimeter 2.8 lens. And if you guys are familiar with that lens, it weighs almost 12 pounds. You know, it's a huge thing. You can't just pick it up and just move quickly with it. So I set up and I waited for that. And I actually got, I have another photograph that's a composite of 8 different photographs taken that night. It covers about a 12-minute time span, and it captures the moon at like 1 or 1.5-minute increments as it's rising in the Empire State Building.
Also fantastic, yes. Peter, clearly you're very patient that you plan this all out and you know exactly where you're going next. Yeah.
Well, some people call me controlling. You want to call me patient? That's great.
Well, okay. Well, you're controlling the situation. In that use of controlling, I don't think that's a bad thing, because that's how you're ensuring you get exactly what you want to get.
We
were talking a little bit earlier about editing, and in your photos, how would you characterize your photos in terms of color and lighting?
So the first thing I would say for me, and I mentioned this to you earlier, is I consider myself an artist.
Mm-hmm,
so my fine art photography is exactly that. It's art. I'm not a photojournalist.
Yeah.
I'm not documenting a particular moment for news purposes or anything like that. Now, the great thing, as we mentioned earlier, is digital technology gives us a lot of different tools to work with. And so one of the tools that we have as photographers now is what's known as a RAW file, R-A-W.
Right.
It's a RAW digital file from the camera. And the thing about a RAW file is it has no settings built into it. It's just, it's just a bunch of ones and zeros. And what we can do now is we can develop that RAW file in an application like Photoshop or Lightroom, just the way film photographers used to develop a negative in the darkroom. So we can control things like contrast, saturation, a color, all of that stuff. And the only thing we're doing now is we're doing it with a mouse and a keyboard. And, of course, it gives us a lot more latitude, and we don't have to deal with all the chemicals.
That's the best part. And the fact that you can just redo it there's that wonderful undo button in the history. You can go back till you pretty much start over if you have to. So we also talked earlier about Ansel Adams. His idea is you don't take a photograph, you make a photograph. So you are definitely of that school where you are making your photo in the digital darkroom.
I think we all are. I'm a big, so people ask me, who's my inspiration? Certainly the old school masters, like somebody like Ansel Adams. But I have to say, a lot of what inspires me today is the stuff I see on Instagram, on Facebook. There's so much great photography out there. This, in my opinion, this is the golden age of photography. There's just so much wonderful, wonderful stuff out there, creative. I thought I was good until I got an Instagram, and I see what some of these guys and gals are putting out, and I'm like, holy cow, this is awesome. And for me, that's an inspiration. It's like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, there are some really just ravishing pictures. The lighting is gorgeous. Everything is gorgeous. It is. I marvel, as you do, on what's going on out there in photography. And when I see that also, I feel that way, that that pushes me to want to do more and more. I love your shots also of the bridges that you've done. I find them fascinating. I have a curiosity about industrial-looking things and cityscapes, and I think you really bring it all together in some of those bridge shots. Really fantastic. Where are you taking those from? And here, let me ask you the other part of that question is, I know that there's often issues with photographers and the law, and you, of course, I'm sure you know that as well, and they don't want you to photograph this, or you can't be here with a camera. So I'm just wondering, when you're out and about doing your thing, do you ever run into problems with
this? Okay, glad you asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2015, I got stopped by law enforcement 5 times. And, they were all, you know, these guys are just guys and gals are just doing their job. You know, they have something they need to get accomplished, and they have a mandate and all that. And the end result is, out of those times, I was only asked to leave a location once,
mm-hmm.
and in three of the other four times, they now follow me on Facebook.
Get
so
out.
if you're nice to people, you know, if you're reasonable, if you look at it from their point of view, once they find out, you know, they never know what to expect. They get a call,
yeah.
you know, there's somebody on in a location that's not supposed to be there, or whatever, and they don't know what's going on, so they're showing up, they're ready for the worst. And if you show that you're a reasonable person, if you're respectful, you know, they're just doing their job. So it can be a positive experience. Now,
mm-hmm.
I will say this. I learned a really valuable lesson this past year, you know, about just respecting private property. You know, I was someplace I wasn't supposed to be, and it had a
mm-hmm.
negative effect on a property owner, you know. And so I was able to straighten that out. I was able to make an amends to that person and take care of that. So it's a fine line. You know, I have to get shots that nobody else can get, because otherwise I'm taking the same photograph as everybody else, and there's not a market
mm-hmm.
for that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you know, I have to be respectful of private property rights, of public safety, you know, all of that stuff. So it's a balancing act, and it works out. It works out okay.
Where would you like to go that you've not been yet to photograph?
Well, you know, the truth is, Andrea, I've only been at this really at this level for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
In
only
terms
3 years.
Of my
years. Wow.
My
yeah.
fine art photography, my landscape photography, my cityscapes. So the farthest I've gone so far is Maine. I went up there last September. I got some breathtaking, amazing photographs. My philosophy is take advantage of what's close to me, and New York City is obviously very close, so I've really taking advantage of that. But, you know, I got my sights set on the rest of the United States and then eventually the rest of the world. I mean, my vision is to travel the
mm-hmm.
world, taking amazing images, you know, that bring joy to millions of people around the world, and places like Antarctica and Australia and New Zealand and Iceland and Greenland and the Middle East. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
the list goes on and on. So that's the vision I'm holding for myself. Don't be surprised if you don't see a GoFundMe campaign soon to help finance that trip, because that's
oh,
really
I would definitely not be surprised, but I'd be thrilled for you. I think it's fantastic if you were able to do that. Well, what are some things these days that really pique your curiosity that just, for you, beg to be photographed that you've not done yet, locally even?
You know, it's not so much the location, I don't think. For me, I look forward to getting into higher resolution photography. So
mm-hmm.
you may know, medium format photography, very high resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also really excited now about 4K video.
Mm-hmm.
I just did a conceptual video shoot with a young actress. It was wonderful. I haven't directed anything in a long time, and so it was great to get behind the camera again as a director, work with video. I love that. I did a bunch of time lapse videos over the summer. You may have seen some of those on my YouTube
yes.
channel. So I love playing with time. I love playing with video. You know, high resolution, high dynamic range. You know,
mm-hmm.
all the stuff that really enhances the photographs.
Well, that's,
you know,
seriously,
I could still,
cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I could take a very simple photograph of an apple, but if I can get in there and see all the detail and all the nuances and the texture and the skin and all that, that excites me. You know,
very
call
exciting.
Me weird, but that's what excites
no,
me.
I'm not going to call you weird, but I'm going to tell you that we are almost out of time. So, Peter, I want to say thank you so much for being my guest today. Peter Alessandria, I'm going to put all kinds of links up on my blog so you can reach out to him, see what he's doing, follow his work. He's an award-winning photographer. He's pursuing his passion. You're going to love his stuff. Can 30 minutes change your life? Yes, it can. So please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. Till next time, I'm Andrea Tarr. Peter, thank you for being with me today. Take care.
Thank you, Andrea.
Bye.
Hello.